Let's get our Bibles out. I've just got to get my list of scriptures. You'll find out why. Charlie was trying to cheat. So what I'll do is, I won't tell you the title, but I'll read the same passage in the four Gospels. Now, as you know, not very many things are included in all four Gospels, and this is one of the things. So Matthew chapter 3, and then I'll put it, once we've finished the one in John, I'll put it out there to ask what the common thread is. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. So Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And verse 21. So Luke chapter 3 and verse 21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased.'" John chapter 1. And verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, 'Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After he cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." There's a couple of things there, but the title of the talk is a common thread in those four scriptures. Anybody hazard a guess? Frank.
Well, the Spirit descends like a dove.
Yep. Charlie?
Baptism of Jesus.
Yep, those two are, but it is. It's the dove. That's the capital. Well, the title. Thank you, Frank. The dove is the title of this talk. So the dove. Interesting. So let's go to Genesis chapter 6. There's another dove. So the Spirit descended upon Jesus in a bodily shape like a dove. Now, let's read Genesis chapter 6. Here's another famous dove. So what's with this dove? Yes.
I've got dove's side
behind you. Do you? Yeah. Balm of Gilead, even. Fuller's soap, that's what it is. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. We'll read a few snippets in this story. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it says in Peter that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Down to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I'll destroy them with the earth. The current world is almost like that. Chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Down to verse 5. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Over to verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl, of cattle, beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. And here's an interesting point that goes through scriptures is the earth, the known earth, we understand that it was a localized flood, was destroyed because of the sin of man. Okay? So all the fowl, cattle, beasts, creeping things, they are all killed because of the sin of man. And that often happens in the world. And we read in the scriptures that things become a desert place. All the trees are killed and creeping things and animals die because of the sin of man. So the sin of man had created this horrible thing for the Lord that he did not want to behold. He didn't want to be a part of it anymore, so he decided to destroy it and start again, really, a fresh start with Noah. Verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Chapter 8, verse 1. And God remembered Noah, and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month, and on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. Now I believe this is incredibly significant. Found no rest for the sole of her foot. Marrying in with what we read in the Gospels. And she returned unto him into the ark, came back to the righteous Noah. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf, okay, also significant, plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Right, so this dove, the title of the talk, the dove. Okay, and I'm hoping it's not too much license that I'm taking here, but it, in four Gospels it clearly says the Spirit descended in the shape of a dove. We have the story of a dove here being released from righteous Noah to search out the land. The first time, this dove could not find rest. Now think of it, it's like the Spirit of the Lord flew out, could not find rest. So it came back to righteous Noah. Then it went out again, and it found an olive leaf. I mean, we were reminded what the olive represented last on Sunday afternoon. It represents God's chosen people, Judah in particular. So the Spirit went out and found a fragment of God's chosen people and brought it back to our righteous Noah. So this Spirit, the dove, searching across the face of the earth for a righteous people, God's chosen people, okay? And in that type of the Spirit descending upon Jesus Christ, it's like, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. It's like, finally, there's a human being that that God can reach out to and dwell with in the shape of a dove. Like in this story, came back to righteous Noah because there was no one else out there. The world was covered with waters. It was dead in the eyes of the Lord, but came back to righteous Noah. And then the next time went out, found a fragment that represented God's chosen people. John chapter 14. I don't believe it was a mistake that he chose a dove to send out the second time. The raven just went off and did whatever they wanted. But the dove represented the Spirit of God. And of course, the parallel I hope you're all thinking about is today, you know, over the oceans of people. You know, the Spirit of God is looking for his chosen people to descend in bodily shape like a dove. The Spirit is wanting to be a part of people's lives over the sea of violence, the sea of iniquity, trying to find the righteous ones. Praise the Lord, we're there. Here we go, John 14. We know these scriptures well just to remind us. Verse 15. Oh, that's Luke. John chapter 14. 14 verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Okay? The world cannot receive that. The Spirit of the Lord passes over them. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The promise of the Comforter that will abide with us, even that Spirit of truth even the Holy Spirit. And it clearly says the world cannot receive it. It's like that dove flying over the waters and cannot find a rest for her foot because the world will not receive it. Romans 8, verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Four times it reminds us that the Spirit dwells in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So here, to also labour a point, I'll read a similar passage in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. So as we know, 1 Corinthians was generally a letter to the church at Corinth, trying to guide them into better practices. They were trying their best. They messed up a few things. And here Paul was to guide. And then 2 Corinthians was basically saying, giving them a thumbs up, saying, well done, that's great. You know, sort some things out. But there's an aspect that's in both of these letters. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, who is Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. It's a great little concept there. I was thinking of chain of command, but it's just this this great little concept that we are Christ's and Christ is God's, and as a result of that, all things are ours. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because that Spirit of God, represented with a dove, could find rest for her foot on us, this olive. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. And it's significant here, it says, I will not only dwell in them, you know, which is stationary, whatever, just being in us. But it says he will walk in them, actually active in our lives, walk and move in us. Penultimate scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's why we act different. We're holy. We're separate. Yeah, okay. We can do all things. It's not going to affect or change the fact that we are God's children, but not all things are expedient. And some things will take us away by their power, but we will not be brought under the power of any. And what flows on as well is by example of unity with all the saints. Sometimes there's things that we might love doing, and yeah, I can't see anything wrong with doing that. It's nothing in the scriptures, nothing against the scriptures, but somehow it might offend a saint. Look, we live in eternity. It doesn't matter. Just don't do it if someone's offended. Like, don't worry about it. You're better off having the unity and not offending a saint, even though within yourself, I have every right to do it. I have every right. Well, it turns out you don't, because you offend a saint. That's the perspective of eternity, and how we say, all things are not expedient. And even being brought under the power of any. But the main part, the wonderful passage there, something we always have to remember, as a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, where God dwells in us and God walks in us and is active in our life, we are washed, sanctified, and justified. That is the key. We have to remember we are pure before the living God. Matthew 5, to finish up. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Okay? The Spirit dwells in us. We have to remember to stay and maintain being the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And that's what we want. We're not carrying on with our good works to get praise for ourselves. We're here representing God. We're an ambassador of God. No, it's not me. It's God. God's filled me with the Holy Spirit. He's given us the word of guidance. All I am is just a servant. That's all I'm doing. I'm just serving the Lord. God gets the praise. But yeah, we are the salt of the earth. When I was thinking about this concept of the dove, I thought, the dove flying around over the earth, over the waters, trying to find a place to rest its foot. They found us. The dove found us. The Spirit of God found us. And we are now the salt of the earth, which is a good thing, to so let our light shine, that the Spirit of God found rest and dwells in us and works in us, and cares for us like dear children. Okay, thank you.